experiences, and that's a kind of class solidarity, even if we're not, like, you know, advertising that, right? So it's the kind of sociality that I think is really missing from, you know, like, SFU.
And it's, yeah, absolutely, Steph. And what I'm hearing you say, it's missing at universities and colleges, but particularly universities where, when we started this interview, we talked about, like, what this is and how the idea came about. And it really is that there's a place for everybody's lived experience at university as students, but not as workers. The university itself doesn't want to recognize class. Like, what I heard Steph say, there's this, like, assumed class neutrality, which, and this will take me off on way too much of a tangent, is a problem with Canadian society as a whole. We're all taught sort of de facto that we're all middle class, which is ridiculous. It's like, okay, and when you get down to it, what's middle class? Oh, it's if you have a home, or if you can afford cable, or you have a car. And it's like, okay, you're just talking about things. Like, it's not about the fact that a majority of Canadians are working class. Over 60% of Canadians are working class in terms of their income, but also power and agency in their lives and in their workplace. There's a small section of middle class, and then we have the capitalist class. But we're kind of taught, well, we're not taught about class, so everyone just assumes you're middle class. And in the classroom, if I have a student that's speaking up about their terrible working conditions, somebody else can put up their hand and say, oh, well, I don't experience that, and then go on to negate that student's lived working class or working poor experience. And as the instructor, I have to navigate that, right? I don't just shut the middle class or student whose parents are capitalists. I can't shut them down. But at a student worker center, that same student, like, I could even say after class, like, hey, you might want to check this space out. And then they go and talk about their lived experience, and other people are like, yeah, man, mm-hmm. I experienced the exact same thing. So Student Worker Center can create solidarity amongst, we know, like, when I was going to school, undergraduate, graduate, I knew that I was different from the students that had a lot of money, whose parents bought, I went to UVic for my undergrad. There were students whose parents bought condominiums, and this is in the 90s, so they must have made a killing on them later. Wow, in the 90s. I can't believe I just said that. Holy. Anyway, and their whole lives were completely different than mine, and we knew we were working class, but a lot of us didn't find each other because there was this assumed sort of middle class, like, oh, well, don't talk about that. And it's like, well, why not?
I think those were the main questions I had for this interview. If there was anything, though, that we didn't touch on that you want to mention that you think people should know about, what would that be?
I think that this is really exciting. Everybody we've talked to has been excited about this and sees the need. So that's really encouraging for us, I think, for our team.
Yeah, our team. Our team of two.
Once again, that was our conversation with Steph Ling and John Henry Harder, who are currently working together on the Student Worker Center initiative at SFU, which aims to provide a space for SFU students to get information on their rights as workers. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Thanks to Danny for that story here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We'll have some music and some more talk to come, but first, Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Video chats help us keep in touch when we're far apart. And now, some birds are in on the fun, too. Knowing how clever parrots are, researchers wanted to see how they'd respond to another parrot saying hi on a tablet or phone. Researchers taught the parrots how to signal they wanted to make a call by ringing a bell, so they could decide for themselves to participate.
Do you want to call a friend?
The bird's caretaker would show the parrot a screen with photos of birds to choose from by touching.
You want to call Rosie?
then the person would start the call.
Want to say hi? Where is she? Yes. There she is. Yes, that's Rosie. Yes.
Many parrots chatted amiably during the call, behaving much like wild birds keeping in touch with their flock. They often stayed on the phone for the maximum allowed 5 minutes. Some birds even learned skills from each other and seemed to form lasting friendships, continuing to call each other after the experiment. The researchers think that video chats could help enrich the lives of birds in captivity. Sometimes, it's just nice to have a friend to squawk on the phone with. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Remmel. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
brand new remix of Bailecito de Mar by Falquiat. The remix by Falquiat, the original by Empanadas Ilegales. You definitely heard this song tearing up the CJSF charts over the last year. And now a new remix EP called Sancocho Trifásico Remixes is available for streaming and download. Get dancing. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And now we're going to hear an interview with Amanda Russell from Shrek the Musical, which is running in New West. This is the final weekend until May 2nd. So listen to this and then go get your tickets.
This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'd like to welcome Amanda Russell to the airwaves, who plays Mama Ogre in Shrek the Musical, which is currently playing at the Massey Theater in New Westminster. So, Amanda, I just want to thank you for joining me. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and it is busy times because before we went on live, I mentioned that I've actually been able to see the show a few times because I moonlight over at the Massey Theater as well. So I know it's super, super busy. I am so happy that you had a moment to chat. So I want to get into my first question. For those who don't know about the show Shrek the Musical, I mean, there might be a few people out there who don't know. What would you say that guests can expect when attending this rendition that's presented by Royal City Musical Theater? What do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This show is just so full of heart, and it's just a fun show. It's been a show that I've known for quite a while, and I've always been very excited when a company in the Lower Mainland does it, because I think it's such a special and different show that you see. You know, you don't usually see lots of fairy tale creatures or interesting characters, or the costumes and the makeup in this show are just amazing. So it's just a fun, good-hearted show is what I would say what to expect.
I have to agree with that. I think that that is a great, yeah, absolutely great explanation of what you can expect. You do play the character Mama Ogre, who is the mom of Shrek. Can you tell me a little bit about that role?
Well, it's funny because in the movie, we don't actually see Mama Ogre. We don't know who Shrek's parents are, but the musical actually starts out with Shrek's story as a younger child and how he ended up at the swamp.
Right.
And so basically when the ogre culture would be that when ogres are 7 years old, they're sent off on their own to live their own life. And so you kind of see a little snippet at the beginning of myself and Papa Ogre sending him off on his way to live a life of solitude.
Absolutely.
It's kind of nice to see the segue into Shrek's life as he grows up or afterwards.
Totally agree. And since you kind of kick start the show, so to speak, like, what is that like to kind of be one of the first, you know, actors on stage? Like, how is that for you?
Yeah. Oh, it's really fun. I'm so excited. The three of us, it's me and Thomas Schultes, who plays Papa Ogre, and either Preston Kalili or Riley Calderwood. They are the young company, and they actually switch out every night. So the three of us kind of hang out behind the curtain backstage, and we're really excited, and we pump each other up, and then the curtains open, and there we are. We're the only three on stage to start the show. So it feels pretty cool to start out the show like that.
I love it. And I do want to share with listeners is that, you know, we are recording remotely and I get to see Amanda right now. But Amanda, you are going to be like completely makeuped up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
How long does it take to kind of get prepared for your role?
Yeah, we have an awesome team of makeup artists that help us before the show. When we first started out, like Shrek's makeup, I think would take around 3 hours to do. And when we first started, ours was about an hour, but now we've kind of cut it down a lot. I would say ours takes no more than 30 minutes now. But the three of us get nose prosthetics.
Yes.
And the Shreks get a facial prosthetic as well that goes over their hair.
Wow.
And then I luckily just wear a wig, and then they paint me green, and then after I go off stage, I have to go take it all off again for my next character. So it's a fast, quick change there, but it's really fun to get out of, in and out of the green. It's really funny. I love it.
Okay, so Shrek the Musical is currently playing at Massey Theater in New Westminster, and it's on now until May 3rd. So, you know, we're still kind of like in the beginning stage of it. We still have a little bit to go. What would you say is has been your favorite moment so far?
Of opening? Oh my gosh. I think just getting to know the cast. Yeah. I've done quite a bit of community theater, and this is actually the first show I've done where I didn't really know anyone coming into it. So it was really nice to get to know everyone and to kind of build that camaraderie with the whole point of the story is that being different is good. And so kind of like joining each other in celebrating our differences. And
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Really nice.
I love that. Yeah. I have a couple more questions before we close. I mean, it's just I just want people to know about this. And guys, the links for tickets and all that will be in the show notes. But you mentioned a little bit about community theater, and I'm curious, like, how long have you been in the community theater world?
Me, myself?
Yeah, you yourself.
Oh my goodness, since I was 11 years old. So I've been in it for over 25 years.
Wow.
Amazingly.
That is so wild. And what is, like, what draws you to, like, community theater? Like, what is that, the draw for you?
Oh, just the arts in general. I'm really passionate about. I actually teach dance and drama to elementary age students in a school setting.
Right on.
So it's like basically my full life is dance and drama. And so I know for myself as a child, I grew up quite shy. And then I found theater specifically, and it broke me out of my shell. And it really allowed me to discover who I am as a person and what I care about. And I do it because I love it. And I hope to share that love with others. And I think art is really important. So
I think art is extremely important, and I love that. And I'm going to end off with one last question before I plug the show again. Like I said, this is going on until May 3rd. After it's done, like, what's kind of next for you? Do you already, like, know what you'd be doing next, or do you take a major break? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, well, it depends. If there's auditions around, I audition. Yeah. But I'm actually currently also in Tony and Tina's Wedding, which is a little fun Vancouver-based immersive show.
Yes.
And so I'll be doing that in May, a few weeks after we launched.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. And then I've also, there's a few directing things I'll be getting into afterwards as well that I've been offered. So I'm pretty excited for
the
future.
Yes.
Yeah. Always busy with something. Yeah.
I love that. I love that because, again, I think art is so important. So I do like to ask these questions about artists just to show listeners who are, you know what I mean, artistically inclined to know that you can keep going with opportunities, right? It's not always a one-off. I love that.
No, exactly. Just keep going. I mean, I have a 10-year-old at home, and I'm a school teacher, and I still do it after school. And people always say, how do you commit all that time? And I'm like, it's because I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. And last thing before I let you go, is there anything that you might haven't, like, shared already that you want to share before we sign off?
Come see the show. Come see Shrek. It's a really fun show, and the cast is just amazingly talented. So,
that is the truth, guys. Like I said, I've seen the show a couple of times. It's a funny show. The cast is extremely talented. Music is on point, and I really enjoyed the set and, you know, costumes and all the things. So I want to thank you, Amanda, for hanging out with me today on CGSF. And I want to thank everybody who's tuned in to have a listen. Again, Shrek the Musical is on now at the Massey Theater. It's happening until May 3rd. You can still grab some tickets. All you have to do is go to MasseyTheatre.com, and there is an easy way to purchase. And I will include links as well, just for those who might be driving or, you know, not able to write that down. So again, Amanda, thank you so much. Have fun tonight.
Thank you.
All right, thank you to Nicole and to Amanda for that interview about Shrek the Musical, playing until this weekend at the Massey Theatre in New Westminster. And that's, well, we got music for the rest of the hour, as we're just about out of time. We're going to keep things local and play a track from one of my favorite releases from last year, I guess. This is from the album Glass by the band Buddy. It's called Antarctica 2005. Democracy Now! Is up in about 8 minutes. You will hear a recorded version of myself next week because I will be away at the National Community Radio Conference in Toronto, but you'll still get a fresh episode. And there's lots of great stuff coming up over the rest of today. We got Beats and Eats with Nicole, who you just heard. We've got Analog Archives with Danny, who you just heard. We've got The Art Show with Jacob, who you haven't heard yet. Call Me Negotiator, Free Voices. It's just hit after hit Thursdays on CJSF, so keep it tuned right here and enjoy Buddy. I'll see you next time I'm here, and a recording of myself will see you next week. Bye.
Max, I know you're a decent human being, but die like a dog.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.